Hello, and welcome to the PER podcast on what you need to know about the evolving role of TIL therapy in cancer treatment.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to talk on this timely subject. I'm Omid Hamid. I'm a medical oncologist who works at the Angeles Clinic and Research Institute. We're a Cedars-Sinai affiliate in Los Angeles, California. And my role is as a medical oncologist, but also a researcher. We run clinical trials here, mostly in the immunotherapeutic field and in the phase one. So we're working to evolve the role of certain immunotherapies for multiple solid tumors.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm so excited because, you know, the evolution of treatment for cancer is just so great. You know, we started out with really toxic drugs way back when. And then we sort of moved to targeted therapies, and now we're using these great approaches to getting the drugs to the tumors. You know, it's almost like a Trojan horse that we're using. Can you tell us what are TILs?
Right. So TILs are tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, and so those are the T cells that your body sends to attack a tumor. And in a normal setting, those cells should be able to get into the tumor and cause that tumor to go away. So TIL therapy works upon that belief and works to get those T cells and help them out. How that works is that we utilize our surgical colleagues. We do a surgical resection of a tumor lesion that gets shipped to a lab where those T cells that are infiltrating into the tumor are grown into billions and then are utilized as an infusion back into the patient to target tumor and cause regression of the tumor, to control the disease and resolve the disease.
What sort of led to the initial concept of doing this?
The initial concept behind immunotherapy and TILs were the fact that we've seen regressions of tumors without treatment or after a inflammatory event that from Dr. Coley in the past, where he rubbed some bacteria into a sarcoma and that resolved itself, all the way into the history of people having measles or other infections or viral infections, and then their tumors shrinking away. That's the initial thoughts. Those thoughts were taken by Steve Rosenberg and others at NIH, and this therapy was begun.
When you talk about infusion back into the patient, sort of reminds me of CAR T cell therapy, right? So they're both adoptive cell therapies, and there's a few other. Can you sort of tell me the differences between these different adoptive T cell therapies?
Right. So all of these cell therapies are now exploding in our care for multiple solid tumors. TIL cell therapy utilizes a tumor resection and then in vitro isolation of those TILs, and then in vitro TIL expansion. So that what you're really doing there is you need to do a surgery, a resection, and you expand those T cells, but you do not in any way change those T cells. These are autologous, which means they come from the patient themselves. And you then take those cells and you reintroduce them into the patient. And that happens after lymphodepletion. Lymphodepletion is the utilization of a non-myeloablative chemotherapeutic regimen, usually with cyclophosphamide followed by fludarabine, that causes the patient's marrow to lose its T cells. and then you infuse back a one-time infusion of these autologous T cells that have been expanded in vitro, and then you give interleukin-2 administration to stimulate the immune system. So These cells have not been changed in any way. They've just been amplified. Depletion does knock out your immune system, but the recovery is rapid, and most patients tolerate it well without major infectious issues. You have to be able to tolerate the interleukin-2 portion for TIL therapy, and that means you have to have a good cardiac and pulmonary system, and that is age-independent. So as a good performance status patient, which most of our patients are, can tolerate this type of regimen. When you talk about T-cell receptor or CAR T-cell therapy, these are genetically modified T-cells. You don't need to do a surgical procedure. Usually there's an apheresis, which is sort of like when you give blood, except they take the white cells out of your blood through what is like a filtration system. They isolate the peripheral blood T cells. So not the tumor T cells, peripheral. And then what you do to those T cells, you genetically modify them by transducing with viral vectors, those antibodies that home the T cell into a tumor. So you can choose from a library of those T cell receptors. For CAR T cell therapy, the T cells are genetically engineered for the same way to recognize a specific antigen, and then they can have other stimulatory agents placed into the T cell. I want to make one other point, which is a significant point to be made about TIL therapy, CAR T therapy, and other upcoming T cell therapies, is that they are, in the majority of patients, one-time therapies. That is, if you get a response, it is usually a durable response. If you get a response, it does not indicate that you need further TIL therapy. So instead of coming in, you know, every 3 or 4 weeks to receive infusion, that patient is now free of the requirement of further therapy until necessary. Now, what's the main differences? TIL therapy, you need a surgery. TCR and CAR T, you don't. TIL therapy, you take those cells and you grow them up. With TCR and CAR, you don't as much. TIL therapy, there is no genetic modification, but those TILs recognize a whole repertoire of antigens from the tumor. With TCR and CAR T, it's usually a single antigen. And then with TIL therapy, there's the utilization of interleukin-2. Both TIL and TCR therapy require initial lymphodepletion, which means the patient receives a regimen of chemotherapeutic before reinfusion of those T cells, however they've been manipulated.
You know, there's several clinical trials going on. So what have we learned so far about TIL therapy for, let's say, we'll start with melanoma.
As we have seen, the promise of TILs for metastatic melanoma, this type of therapeutic has been taken onto multiple other solid tumors. I will say that the melanoma data is some of the most advanced, where we've treated the greatest majority of patients, but we are now moving it into earlier and earlier metastatic melanoma, so as first-line combination therapies on trial. More recently, we have partnered with our pharmaceutical friends and allowed the ability for TIL therapy to be available at any hospital. This allowed us to accrue significant portion of patients and evaluate the efficacy of TIL in patients that were treated with standard therapies. So these were patients who had already received checkpoint inhibitors. These were patients who, if they were BRAF mutated, had already received BRAF targeted agents. And these were patients, in the majority of instances, that really had no response to traditional checkpoint inhibitor therapy. What we saw in the cohort of patients, 66 of them who received TIL, we saw 24 of them having a response. That's a 36.4% response rate. That is the highest that we have seen with second line therapies after the utilization of traditional therapies in metastatic melanoma. We saw about a 4.5% complete response, a 31.8% partial response. Even better, the clinical benefit, the disease control rate, which is complete response, partial response, and stable disease, was in 80% of patients. These are patients who had seen anti-PD-1 and anti-CTLA-4 therapy. What we saw that the responses continued to deepen or improve over time. We saw responses in multiple areas, including lungs and liver. Additionally, this trial looked at those patients who may have responded but ultimately had further tumor growth and allowed TIL retreatment if necessary. That was a separate cohort, and we await that data to be presented. What's interesting about this therapy and different than other immunotherapies is the safety, where we saw the majority of adverse events to be during the time of lymphodepletion and until interleukin-2 therapy. So the majority of adverse events were during the first week to 2 weeks. They were mostly related to lymphodepletion and IL-2, and they did not recur as the patient was further and further out from the therapy.
What have they found is sort of the duration of response to TIL therapy?
That's very important. And so what we've seen is that the majority of patients that respond have a very extensive duration of response. And so in the data that was presented with lifileucel, we found that the duration of response did not depend on prior BRAF inhibitor or prior CTLA-4 use. There is some very interesting data that came out of ASCO that cumulative duration on anti-PD-1, PD-L1 type of therapies, that if you had less of an exposure to PD-1 therapies, that you had a better duration of response. And now that's very early. It does help us understand where TIL may fit. And it has led us to look at those patients who responded in the initial melanoma trials. Very interestingly, 80% of the responders were people who never had a response to PD-1 therapy. So they had less PD-1 therapy. But you can also say that those patients that had response were continually in a response and did not need another line of therapy. Nevertheless, we are now looking at this paradigm of TIL in combination with anti-PD-1 therapies in treatment-naive patients with metastatic melanoma. And there's been early data that was presented at ASCO last year. It was about 7 or 8 patients. It showed a significant response in a majority of the patients. But I would say that this is early data that shows the feasibility of this combination, which is very important as we look at moving TIL onto other solid tumors.
So you were talking about PD-L1 status. Am I correct in thinking that they're doing some studies combining TILs with immune checkpoint inhibitors?
Yes, they are. There are multiple studies looking at combining TILs with immune checkpoint inhibitors. Currently, there is a first-line study looking at that in multiple solid tumors, including lung cancer and head and neck cancer. It's a interesting paradigm as we understand that combination immunotherapies are giving us higher response rates. The question is, what does that mean for long-term duration of control? What are the toxicities there? And what are the next steps? Currently, there's a global phase 2 study of TIL therapy in solid tumors looking at first-line melanoma, head and neck cancer, first-line without having seen a PD-1 inhibitor, and non-small cell lung cancer that has not seen a PD-1 inhibitor. In the melanoma cohorts, you can say, well, we have other combinations that have shown response and durability. We have other combinations that are either approved, such as the PD-1 CTLA-4 paradigm, or hopefully recently being reviewed and soon to be approved, like the LAG-3 PD-1 paradigm, but you can't really say that in other solid tumors. So there's a significant need for patients with head and neck cancer and patients with lung cancer.
So in normally, when you're using sort of a PD-1 inhibitor, they're checking PD-1 levels prior to giving it. They're looking at sort of tumor mutation burden and microsatellite instability. Is that something that would be also occurring for patients that are going to receive the combined TILs with PD-L1 inhibitors?
So in those combination trials with PD-1 inhibitors and other immunotherapies, I'm sure that they're looking for predictive markers such as tumor mutational burden, such as PD-L1 staining, such as specific mutational analysis. But those are not gatekeepers for these patients to come on to those trials.
Okay, so since we're talking about what patients can come on to the trial, so what are some of the inclusion criteria that are used for studies in TIL therapy?
Oh, good question. Most importantly, when you look at patients for TIL therapy, the inclusion criteria looks at, number one, that they haven't had an immune toxicity before. So some of those immune-related adverse events that you have seen with checkpoint inhibitors, they don't exclude the patients. That's the most important part, but they must have resolved those toxicities. Now, there is a interesting trial that is opening now. It's open in certain places, but it'll be opening nationwide soon, that's looking specifically at those patients who have had checkpoint inhibitor and who have had toxicity that hasn't resolved. So important to look, because it's another mechanism and you don't see the similar toxicity profile. So the main point to be made is that if you're a patient that has had checkpoint inhibitor therapy with PD-1 or CTLA-4 and have had a significant immune-related adverse event, that does not exclude you from these T-cell therapeutics.
CAR T-cell therapy is associated with cytokine release syndrome and a lot of neurological toxicities. So do those not happen with TIL therapy?
Yes, the toxicities that you see with CAR T, specifically cytokine release, is not seen with TIL therapy. Mostly, the toxicities you see with TIL therapy, they come from the lymphodepletion and IL-2. That's not to say that you can't see cytokine release. With high-dose IL-2, you do have that type of hypotension, you can have those types of fevers, but it's less seen with TIL therapy. With TIL, usually the adverse events occur from the time of lymphodepletion until the end of the high-dose interleukin-2. So as I've mentioned before, the significant time of toxicity is either during the first or second week. The point to be made here, and this is one thing we haven't talked about, is that the interleukin-2 given for TIL is different than our traditional high-dose interleukin-2 therapies that have been given for melanoma and renal cell carcinoma. With the interleukin-2 for TIL, our experience has shown that you can have a response even without the interleukin-2. So the moment we consider that there is any type of toxicity that is related to the IL-2, we stop the IL-2. We do not dose to toxicity with the interleukin-2.
How can clinicians find out more about clinical trials that are ongoing?
Clinicians can find out about ongoing clinical trials by identifying their collaborators and colleagues that are functioning in this field, such as myself. They can go to clinicaltrials.gov and search for those clinical trials. We're working with our pharmaceutical partners to set up a website. And that website is for the TIL working group. That website will have information for patients, physicians, oncologists. It'll have slide sets, it'll have videos, etc. You can always go to the sites for ASCO and others and see previous presentations that have been done.
Where do you see TIL therapy going in the future? You know, what is the ultimate goal?
What we would want is to understand what the predictive factors are that note patients who will respond to TIL, number one. Number two, we want to have the ability to understand the patients who will have toxicity to TIL or the IL-2. So we need biomarkers there. We'd like to be able to understand which TILs there that are in the tumor that we have grown are proficient and are needed. And then the next steps, as we've talked about, modifying the TIL, decreasing the need for lymphodepletion, looking at a better adjunct than IL-2. Those are all things that we're looking at right now. And to then expand the promise of TIL into multiple solid tumors.
Wow, this really is an exciting time in the treatment of solid tumors. And I'm sure it's only going to get better as we learn more about it. You know, Dr. Hamid, I really appreciate your time today. This has been so informative. And hopefully we'll see TILs coming into, you know, into daily practice for these patients. So again, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, and I will tell you that there's no doubt in my mind that TILs will be part of daily practice.